It's Tuned to Yesterday, showcasing programs from radio's golden era. Welcome, I'm your host, Mark Levonier. A couple of westerns in this hour, later on, Tales of the Texas Rangers from 1951. But right now, a broadcast of The Frontier Gentleman. Heard on June 15th, 1958 on CBS, John Daner stars as J.B. Kendall in the story, The Well.
In the plains country of Wyoming Territory, I met a homesteading family. This is an account of how they lived and nearly died. Frontier Gentlemen. Herewith, an Englishman's account of life and death in the West. As a reporter for the London Times, he writes his colorful and unusual stories. But as a man with a gun, he lives and becomes a part of the violent years in the new territories. Now starring John Daner, this is the story of J.B. Kendall, Frontier Gentleman. I came across the shack in the mid-afternoon. It seemed to spring out of a slight depression in the unchanging flatness of plains, this isolated cabin with its miniature corral. And startling against the sun-browned earth, the tiny patch of green lawn. As I drew closer, I saw a child, perhaps 3 years old. She hugged a shapeless lump of calico in her arms and stood quiet in the doorway, watching gravely as I approached. I called hello to her. Her eyes remained on me, wide, gray-blue. The only reaction to my voice, a tightening of her hands about the faceless doll. I saw the window, a flap of canvas serving for glass, rough-hewn logs, ill-fitting, the chinks filled with baked earth. At the side of the cabin, a few yards away, was a well with its rope and an iron bucket. I looked back to the child, but she was no longer there. Instead, a tall, flaxen-haired woman stood in the doorway, a Winchester held in her hands.
Jingle your spurs, mister. Go on.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to frighten you. I wondered if I could have some water. For the horses well, I'd be willing to pay.
You alone?
Yes.
We're not used to strangers riding this way. Where are you headed?
Laramie.
Well, that's a long ride.
I know.
Your horse looks tired. Better water him.
Oh, thank you.
I got nothing for the horse to drink out of. You'll have to use your hat.
It's all right. Ooh. Ooh.
Maybe you can use this. It's not much, but it's the biggest pan I've got.
No, no, really. The horse doesn't mind my hat. He's used to it.
Never mind. Poor.
Oh, thank you. Oh, it's been a hot day.
It's about the same as usual. I'm sorry about the rifle, mister.
Yeah, it's all right.
No, I'm sorry. My husband's away. He won't be back till late. He's just the baby and me.
I understand.
I guess it's easy to forget hospitality out here. I'm sorry that water's some brackish. Wally's digging a new well around the back, but it hasn't hit sweet water yet.
I'm very grateful. Would you take this, please?
Oh, no. We don't take money for water.
You know, I wondered about your grass over there.
It's pretty, isn't it? My sister sent the seeds from home, from the east, Connecticut.
Uh-huh.
That's where I'm from, before Wally and I got married and came out here. Do you know Connecticut, mister?
Yes, I've been there.
You have? Where, Richfield? Do you know Richfield?
No. New Haven, though. I've been there.
Oh, that's fine. Just fine. Oh, imagine. New Haven. You must be one of those Yale College men.
No.
The way you talk.
No, I'm English.
I could have sworn it was New England. Boston, maybe.
How long have you been out here?
A year now. We lived in St. Louis before that. The baby was born there and... Listen to me chattering on. I guess it's just that we don't get much chance to talk to folks from the East.
I can understand.
Can you? Well, I declare, we haven't even been introduced. I'm Meg Calder.
J.B. Kendall.
Mr. Kendall, why don't you come on in and have some apple cornbread? I just made some this morning.
Oh, well, it's kind of you.
It's pure selfish, that's what it is. I want to hear about New Haven and the like. You best put your horse in the corral. I'll make some coffee. Of course, it isn't like using fresh apples, real apples. But I guess we're lucky to even get dried ones out here.
Really? Good, Mrs. Calder.
Will you have some more coffee?
Please.
Annie's taken quite a fancy to you. She usually hides when strangers are about.
And she takes after you. Her eyes, hair.
Do you think so?
Annie.
Ann Meredith, after my great aunt. Ann Meredith Honeycutt in Ridgefield.
Ah.
She's a little shy, Mr. Kendall. You see, she can't talk.
Oh, well, she'll be...
I mean, she never will. She was born with an affliction. But she can hear, and she understands some. She knows her name, and Mama, and Dada. Don't you, baby? Come on, sit on Mama's lap.
What brought you out here, Mrs. Calder?
The land. We're homesteading. Wally knows a lot about farming. He figures when we get enough water, we'll raise wheat and grain. Barley, maybe. He says we've got to raise it to feed cattle. There'll be money in that.
It must be hard work digging wells.
Oh, it is. That one that's drying up, it's only 40 feet. The other one behind's down 50. Wally thinks maybe another 20 feet will get him water. He's gone to the Allen boys to borrow another spade.
You mean he's digging it alone?
Oh, yes. When we first set up here, a fella came riding by and he said he could locate water for us. And he surely did. Just used a forked stick and he pointed right to the spot. He was a preacher kind of man. Helped Wally dig and Wally paid him $5.
Must get rather lonely for you. I mean, when your husband goes away.
Mr. Kendall, I haven't seen a white woman for a year. I don't think there's one for 100 miles around. Mrs. Manning used to live north, 30 miles from here, but she and her family, all but Ed Manning, they got killed by Indians just before we came here. Don't do that, baby. Of course, we haven't had any trouble with Indians, but I do say I sometimes worry being alone with the baby.
I should imagine.
I hope you don't mind.
Mind?
Me, talking on like a jaybird.
Oh, I don't mind at all, no.
Annie, where are you going? Annie? Oh, that child, I declare. It's Wally! Wally!
Meg? Who's inside?
Stranger came by, named Kendall, on his way to Laramie. Didn't you get the trouble?
No, there's trouble. Alan's place was burned down last night.
Oh, wow.
You better get Annie in. I don't want her outside.
Come on, Annie. Come on, baby.
Come on.
Kendall?
Yes, you're Calder.
Well, pleased to know you, but you better be moving on. There's likely to be trouble.
What is it? What happened?
A fella called Selfridge. Him and a bunch of cattlemen. They figured to run all the homesteaders out.
But why?
Well, they say we've been killing their range cattle.
That's not true.
I know it isn't. That's what Alan told them. They gave him and his brother a beating, then fired the place. Alan says they'll be heading this way.
Oh, Wally.
Mister, you better hit the trail.
Oh, if I can be of any help, I...
Well, there's not much we can do. There's a bunch of...
No, I mean, if they come here, what's going to happen?
I don't know. I guess I'll send the wife and kid over to old man Hovland's place, and I'll wait here.
I'm not going. We've got a right to our land. It's all legal. You've got the papers, Wally. You can show them.
Meg, papers don't matter. They want to get us out of the territory. This thing's been coming for a long time. Alan told me, all over the country, cattlemen trying to chase homesteaders out.
They won't chase us.
You've got to go up to Hovland's and take the kid, Meg. There might be shooting.
You listen to me, Wally Calder. It took a year of wanting and all this spring for me to get that grass patch out front. I'm not giving it up. I'm here. Here I'm going to stay, and no cattleman nor anything else is putting me out.
Can't you get protection from the law?
Mister, the law is 130 miles from here, and they're not partial to homesteaders either.
Well, in that case, it might be just as well if I stay here, just in case you need another gun.
I'm obliged to you, Kendall, but if this Selfridge and his pals are looking for someone, it isn't going to be any healthier for you than for us.
I'll take the chance with you, at least overnight.
Not much of a place to bed down. Meg can fix you up with a blanket.
Well, sure I can. I've got a quilt, too. Not that you'll be needing it in this weather, Mr. Kendall.
I'd best see to feeding the horse. Meg, you break out that hunting piece. There's shells back in the bureau top drawer.
All right, Wally.
I'll give you a hand, Mr. Calder.
Name's Wally. And I'd be much obliged. I haven't said anything to Meg, but I've been expecting something like this. Started up last winter, I guess.
What happened?
Oh, a lot of cattle died. It was a hard season. Well, you know how it is.
Yeah.
I came across a couple of poor critters myself, froze stiff, so I skinned them, took the hides. Wouldn't do the cattle any good. I sure needed them. So the cattlemen are saying fellas like me killed their beef, but they didn't die a natural death. Oh, watch out for the post.
All right, Don.
It's loose. Yeah. Gotta fix that one of these days.
I think you're going to have visitors, Wally.
Must be them. Selfridge and his boys. How many can you see?
Three. Four.
Yeah, four. Come on, we better get back to the cabin before they get here.
Meg Calder was waiting for us in the doorway when we reached the cabin. I noticed an ancient hunting rifle, as well as the Winchester, leaning against the wall. The child, Anne, was huddled in a corner, still clasping the calico doll in her arms. We watched the riders as they approached across the plain, and their gallop slowed to a canter, a walk. And then they stopped a few feet from the little grass patch. One of the horses began to nibble at the green shoots.
Get that horse of yours off my grass.
Now, Calder, I ain't gonna make a lot of talk. You got a kid inside. You've got 1 hour to get her and your missus packed and out of here.
You got it all wrong. We're staying. You get off my land.
Homesteaders ain't wanted around here.
Alan's already told me about that. You think you're gonna burn down my place? You got another thing coming.
Now, me and the boys, we don't want no shooting.
You don't get that horse of yours off my grass. There's going to be shooting right now.
Meg, come back.
Back him up now. Go on. I'm not telling you again.
Put up your gun, man. We ain't got no quarrel with women.
No quarrel? What do you call it, then, to trying to throw us off of what's rightly ours?
Yeah, man, she sure is a live dictionary, ain't she? Oh, come on, Jack. They ain't going peaceable. Let's get started.
I wouldn't.
Who are you?
A friend of the Calders.
Another sidebuster, huh? Well, you better make a nine in your tail, pard. We don't want your kind around here.
Now, I ain't got no personal quarrel with you, Calder, but this here country is for cattle. Fellas like you ain't gonna come in here killing our stock.
I never did.
Oh, come on, Selfridge. I won't stop around here all day wrangling with this home sucker. Let's start burning.
You take it easy, Flag. We're gonna give him an hour, like I said.
I have an idea it's going to be the longest hour you ever waited, my friend.
I ain't your friend, mister. I don't want no mavericker like you for a friend. 1 hour, Calder. Then we're coming back.
Yeah. 1 hour!
They don't seem to think you mean what you say.
That's the trouble. Nobody puts up a fight against them. Well, they'll learn something from me. My great-grandfather, Silas Honeycutt, stood off a whole regiment of redcoats with Putnam. No offense to you, Mr. Kendall. You being English and all.
No offense.
What do you think, Kendall? What are our chances?
Wally Calder, you're not going to...
Now, wait a minute, Meg. We've got to think about the kid. Not going to be much use if she's got no ma and pa to care for her. Those fellas mean business. We put up a fight, they'll be killing, maybe on our side. I'm not afraid, but there are other places to start up again.
Wally, if you want to go, you go. I'm not stopping you. Me and Annie's staying. You do what you want.
She's some woman, you know, Kendall?
I know.
I asked, what do you think?
Well, I can't answer, Wally. It's up to you.
Yeah. She sure takes good care of that grass, doesn't she? You know, we figure on planting vegetables as soon as we get the new well dug.
Annie! Wally! she come out?
Well, no, she was inside.
But she's gone. I can't find her.
Annie? Honey? Annie?
Annie? Annie? She isn't here, Wally.
Did you look behind the stove? She likes to hide behind
it. I looked.
Well, perhaps she went out while we were all outside.
Maybe she got frightened. Annie, baby.
Kendall, you go around the other side. Will you look in the corral? She likes the horse. Maybe she's there.
For the next 15 minutes, we searched. I could see Selfridge and his men about a quarter of a mile away, watching us. I found no trace of the child. When I returned, I saw the Calder standing beside the mouth of the new well behind the cabin. I joined them and felt a cold chill as I looked down into the darkness at my feet.
She couldn't have, honey.
Well, maybe she did. Maybe she's down there.
No, she knows about it. We showed her. We told her to stay away.
Maybe she didn't understand. Maybe she was running, scared, and fell, and she's down there.
No.
And we can't hear her because she can't cry or shout or anything. And she's lying there, hurt or dead.
No, Meg. No, she's just hiding somewhere. We'll find her.
Annie!
No. Look, now, don't.
It's your fault. It's you making us come out here in this terrible place with dirt, not enough food.
Honey, we'll find her. She'll be all right. Now, take hold of yourself, Meg. They're back. It's Selfridge.
I don't care. I want my baby. Wally, you've got to find her.
Yeah. They noticed you readying to leave.
The child is lost. Did you see her come out of the cabin?
No.
Oh, no, I didn't.
Quint, you see her?
Nope.
Well, I guess maybe I did while we was talking.
Where'd she go?
Around here at the back.
Wally!
You think she fell in the well?
Well, we don't know.
How deep is it?
About 50 feet.
Not that deep.
You called to her down there?
Well, it wouldn't do any good. She can hear, but she can't talk.
That's a longish fall. I wouldn't figure her to be alive.
Shut your fool mouth.
Well,
Flag.
That's
well,
true.
Calder, are you sure she's down there?
No, but she isn't anyplace else.
Now, what's it like down there? Rock?
No. Mostly soft
dirt. You know,
dirt.
She could be all right, little kid like that. They can take a fall pretty good, you know.
Now, that ain't much support, that soft dirt. Like's not you'd get a cave in.
I was aiming to fix that, but... Well, maybe she's not even in there.
Get a rope, Wally. Somebody's got to go down to find out.
Not me, no, sir. I heard about black damp in them wells. Oh, no, sir.
Flag,
I ain't
nobody's
ready to
asking
that my
you.
Hush up now.
Well, I ain't going down there.
I haven't got a proper windlass. Just been tying the other end to the post there.
Good.
She holds good. Now, you fellas pay it out.
Sure.
I'm going down.
Right.
Wally.
Hard blossom.
You be careful.
Get behind me. Flag, get behind him.
Flag.
Hold tightly now.
Okay, I got you.
Let's go
slow.
You got
Flag?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Easy now, darling. Easy.
Slowly. Slowly. There's a lot of loose dirt falling.
Don't clear the air.
Slowly. Wally, shout out when you're on the bottom.
Annie.
All right.
Watch out. You've got no hand caught in that hitch.
Oh, yeah. Stay all right now.
Yeah, go ahead.
He's down.
All right,
Kendall?
Wally? Is she all right? Wally?
I don't know.
Bring her up, Wally. Tie the rope under your arms. Hold her. We'll pull you up.
Yeah. All right. Good.
Some slack. Great. Let us know when you're ready.
Lord, please. Please. Oh, Lord, deliver us, I pray.
Oh, now, Mrs.
Lord.
She's going to be all right. Now, you see, she's going to be just fine.
Sure taking a sweet time.
You ready? Wally, are you ready?
What's the matter with him? Calder, do you want us to pull up?
It's gone slack again.
It's a black dam's got him. That's what it is. You keel over.
Wally, can you hear me? I'm going down after them. Be ready to pull up fast when I give the word. I went down into the well as quickly as I dared, my feet unavoidably scuffing the walls of the shaft, sending showers of dirt to the bottom. As the circle of light diminished over my head, I became aware of a stale heaviness in the air, which became more pronounced with every foot of the descent. Then I was at the bottom, and I could dimly make out the form of the child, and huddled beside her, Wally. As I made a hurried loop of the rope under my arms, I began to feel lightheaded. It was an effort to pick up the child, to hold her.
Pick me up! Up!
Then, as the ascent began, and the air became fresher, I felt my senses returning, and with them the realization that the little girl's heart was still beating.
Is she all right?
Annie.
She's alive. She's alive. Take her.
All right. Now, you come on out. I'll go down for Cole.
No, no time. Send me down. Hurry. You'll have to bring us up together. I knew now what was meant by black damp. Some form of gas which gathered in the bottom of the well. This time, I breathed as sparingly as possible. At the bottom, I put Wally Calder over my shoulder and then began the never-ending journey to the surface. The light above me became dimmer and dimmer. I felt Wally falling, slipping off my shoulder, my grip on the rope weakening, weakening.
Mr. Kendall? Mr. Kendall? Mr. Kendall?
Kendall?
Oh, there. That's better.
How did I...
They pulled us out, Kendall.
Huh? I don't remember.
They said you had a grip on me like to twist my neck off.
Oh, I'd like to thank them.
I already did. They didn't feel like waiting.
Oh?
No, they just kind of stood around a couple of minutes and figured they'd better get back to the ranch before night.
How's the little girl?
Some bruises, but that's all.
Oh.
She's asleep now.
Meg and me... We just wish there was something we could do. If you want, you can share our place with us till you find a likely site for yourself. I'll help you build, Kendall. I'll give you a year's work for what you've done for us.
Oh, well, thank you. But I suppose I'm what you'd call a wandering man. I'll stay the night if I may. Then in the morning, I'll go on to Laramie.
And after Laramie?
I don't know, Mrs. Calder. I don't really know.
The Frontier Gentleman on Tuned to Yesterday from June 15th, 1958 on CBS. You're listening to an hour of Westerns on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. Now time for Tales of the Texas Rangers with an episode called Fugitive's Trail, written by Adrian Godot, whose work was often featured on the Whistler series in the late 1940s, and into the 1950s he was one of the head writers for the Dangerous Assignment series. A great broadcast next from October 21st, 1951 on NBC.
The National Broadcasting Company presents Joel McRae in Tales of the Texas Rangers. From Hollywood, another authentic reenactment of a case transcribed from the files of the Texas Rangers. Tales of the Texas Rangers, starring Joel McRae as Ranger Jace Pearson. Texas, more than 260,000 square miles. And 50 men who make up the most famous and oldest law enforcement body in North America. From the files of the Texas Rangers come these stories based on fact. Names, dates, and places are fictitious for obvious reasons. The events themselves are a matter of record. Case for tonight, Fugitive's Trail.
It is approximately 11:30 on the night of January 21st, 1948. Mr. and Mrs. Ben Purvis are driving back to their ranch on the outskirts of Newby, Texas. The car, a small black sedan, finally swings off the main highway, turns into a long, narrow dirt road leading to the ranch buildings.
Looks like we got company, Ben. There's a car parked in front of the house.
Yeah. Probably one of Arlene's boyfriends.
Mm-hmm.
Look, I thought you told her we didn't like your fellas hanging around.
Oh, now, Ben, he probably just stopped by to pick her up and take her home. We told her we'd be back about this time.
Well, just the same.
Now, don't crab about Arlene. You know, babysitters are hard enough to get out here without...
Well, I still think you could find somebody else. I was never sold on that girl. She's kind of wild and unpredictable.
Oh.
Never know what she's going to do.
She's all right, Ben. Just stop worrying.
Looks like Dave Fenton's car. Yeah, that is his car.
Hey, you sit still, Ben. I'll open the garage doors.
Thought he and Arlene split up.
So did I. Must have patched things up, I guess.
You got the plants Mrs. Sutton gave you?
Uh-huh, right here.
What sort of flower is he gonna be?
Yellow. Miss Sutton told me the name, but I forgot.
They look real nice alongside the house, eh, don't you?
Yeah, I guess so.
You know, Ben, I'm kind of glad we went over to see Miss Sutton tonight.
Yeah, she's a real nice old lady.
Mm-hmm.
Sure held up fine at the funeral this afternoon.
It's going to be hard on her for a while, though, poor thing. After all, she and Mr. Sutton were married almost 40 years. Now he's gone.
Yeah. Well, Doc warned him to slow down after that last attack he had. But no, he wouldn't hear of it. Oh, it sounds like our young'un's acting up.
Well, he shouldn't be crying now if Arlene gave him his 10 o'clock bottle.
He'd just like her to forget.
Arlene, what? Well, Ben, she's not here. That's funny. Arlene?
Probably in with the baby, Les. Hey, what's this?
What's the matter?
Look, chairs turned over and...
Well, look, my good table lamp on the floor. Oh, Ben, look, it's broken.
Hey, what the heck's been going on around here? Arlene?
Here, honey, you take the lamp. I'm going in to see the baby.
Arlene? Where is that fool girl anyway? Baby all right, Helen?
Uh-huh, his blanket was on the floor. He's just cold, that's all. See if Arlene's in the kitchen, will you, Ben?
All right. I'll be darned. Honey, come here a minute, will you?
Is Arlene in here, Ben?
No. Look at this.
What?
Baby's bottle, full. Here's a warming pan. She didn't give him his feeding.
Well, I wonder where she is.
I'm going to have a look out back. Doggone kid.
Careful on the porch, dear. Better turn on the light.
Okay. Good Lord.
Ben? Ben? Ben, what's the matter? What...
Who is it?
Young Dave Fenton. He's dead.
On discovering the body of Dave Fenton, Ben Purvis immediately called the sheriff's office. The sheriff put out an all-points bulletin for the Rankin girl and requested aid from the Texas Rangers. Ranger Jace Pearson was assigned, arriving at the Purvis ranch shortly after 4 a.m.
There's the body, Jace. Blast caught him right behind the ear. Not very pretty, is it?
Shotgun wounds never are. When this happened?
Doc figures sometime between 9 and 10 o'clock last night.
Uh-huh. Just a kid.
19. Worked at his pa's gas station in town. Seemed like a real nice boy, Jace. Real nice.
Anybody touch this shotgun?
No.
Who's it belong to?
Ben Purvis. Says he generally keeps it behind the kitchen door.
It's babysitter Arlene,
Arlene Rankin. Here's a description of her. I sent a man over to her house right after Purvis called me. Her pa said she hadn't come home. Man's still out there keeping an eye on the place in case she does show up. I don't think she will.
Which one's Purvis?
Over there by the fence, talking to the Justice of the Peace.
Ben! Oh, Ben!
Okay, Jeff, be right with you.
If you want to talk to Mrs. Purvis, Jay, she's inside.
Later, maybe.
You want me, Sheriff?
Yeah. Ben, this here's Ranger Pearson. Jace, Ben Purvis.
Howdy, Ranger.
Howdy, Mr. Purvis. Sheriff tells me that you and your wife were out visiting when this happened.
That's right. We were over at the Sutton place.
What time did you leave the house here last night?
Well, let me see. I drove over to Arlene's house around 6:30. I picked her up and brought her back here. Then the wife and I left. I guess that was around 7.
You know if she was expecting this Fenton boy to drop in on her?
No, I don't.
Had he ever come around here before?
Oh, sure, lots of times. He dropped by to take her home. Only he stopped coming around a couple of months ago.
Why was that?
Well, near as I can figure, she and Fenton must have had a falling out of some sort. Maybe she got tired of him. She had a lot of boyfriends, new ones, every time you turn around.
I see. Who's the latest, do you know?
No, it's pretty hard to keep up with her. A couple of weeks or so ago, it was Lenny Hayes.
Was he supposed to come by last night?
I wouldn't know that, Ranger.
You usually take her home?
That's right, whenever there's no fella here to pick her up.
You know, Jace, I figure that Fenton here got sore because she threw him over. They had a fight. She killed him and beat him.
Yeah, it could have happened that way. And it could have been the reason why she didn't take Fenton's car. She'd been spotted too easy.
That girl. Ain't surprised she'd pull a stunt like this at all.
Not this gun of yours, Mr. Purvis. You always keep it loaded?
Yes, sir. And it's usually sitting behind the kitchen door.
Did Arlene know it was there?
I don't see how she could have missed noticing it, Ranger.
I want to take this gun with me, Mr. Purvis. Have the lab men check the fingerprints.
Well, sure. Go ahead.
All right, Sheriff. I guess the JP can take charge of the body now. Let's get moving.
Anybody in mind you want to see?
Yeah. Some of Arlene's friends. We'll start with a boy she's been going with lately, this Lenny Hayes.
He lives over the drugstore. Oh, but let's see. It's after 5 now, Jace. He's probably on his way to work.
Well, where's that?
Auction barn. He's sort of a general handyman there, tagging cattle, herding them around the place.
All right, let's look him up. The gray of dawn was creeping over the horizon as we reached the auction barn. The sheriff and I mounted the stairs to the platform overlooking the pens below. See Lenny Hayes anywhere, Sheriff?
Yeah. Yeah, there he is down there, coming along the runway. Lenny! Oh, Lenny!
Yeah?
Want to talk to you. Come on, Jace.
Morning, Sheriff.
Morning, Lenny.
I figured you'd be coming around.
Oh, you heard what's happened.
Yeah.
This is Ranger Jace Pearson, Lenny. He wants to ask you some questions.
Sure.
When did you see Arlene Rankin last, Lenny?
Yesterday afternoon at the Sutton funeral. Everybody in town was there, I guess.
You talked to her?
For a few minutes. I asked her to go to the basketball game at the school gym, but she couldn't. She'd already promised to sit for the Purvis folks.
I see. What happened between Arlene and Dave Fenton, do you know?
They just busted up, that's all.
How'd he take it?
Well, he could be pretty nasty when things didn't go the way he wanted. He called her up a lot after that and wanted to patch things up, but Arlene wouldn't have any of it. He got good and sore a couple of times.
You think Arlene was frightened by him?
Well, sure, the guy was crazy jealous and never knew what he might do.
I see. Do you have any idea where Arlene could be right now?
Nope. No idea at all.
All right, thanks.
Could I ask you something, Ranger?
Yeah?
If Arlene did kill Fenton, it could have been self-defense, couldn't it?
Maybe.
Suppose he come out there looking for trouble. Couldn't she have picked up the gun to scare him away, not meaning to pull the trigger?
And the gun went off accidentally. Is that what you're driving at, Lenny?
Sure, why not?
Well, in that case, you shouldn't have run away.
Well, yeah, that was a crazy thing to do, I guess. But look, if she was to give herself up now, and if she could prove it was self-defense, an accident...
Go on.
Well, I mean, things would go easier on her, wouldn't they?
Has Arlene been in touch with you, Lenny? Has she?
Listen, Ranger, I don't want to get in any trouble, but...
You won't if you tell the truth.
Well, this thing is getting me down. I want to get it off my mind. If I told you where she is, would you give her a break?
I'm not a judge. Where is she?
She phoned me last night from Covington, from the bus depot.
Covington, huh?
Yeah, she said she was in trouble. Wouldn't tell me what it was. She said she needed money, and, well, I didn't have any. Not even enough to buy gas to drive over there.
What'd you tell her?
I told her I'd see if I could raise some, but, well, she hung up on me.
What time did she make this phone call?
around midnight, a few minutes before. I remember because I was listening to the radio and the station signed off while I was talking to her.
There's a bus comes through here around 10:30 and it pulls into Covington a little before midnight, Jase. That's the one she probably took.
Come on, Sheriff. Let's head for Covington. We spent the major part of the day combing the town of Covington, but there wasn't a single trace of Arlene Rankin. Late that afternoon, the sheriff and I wound up at the bus depot. Got to talking to the woman behind the lunch counter.
Well, let me see now. Girl about so high and blonde hair. Coming on the late bus, you say?
Uh-huh.
Let me see. Youngster, was she?
17.
Say, that wouldn't be the Rankin girl, Ranger.
That's right.
Heard about her on the radio this morning. Say, you mean she's here in Covington?
We believe she was here last night.
Well, land sakes, imagine that.
Well, have you seen a girl answering her description, ma'am?
Well, no, wait a minute. Say, there was a girl, just like your description.
You sure, ma'am?
Mm-hmm, last night, by closing time. I was throwing out the coffee when she come up and asked me for a glass of water. Girl about so high, real attractive.
She act nervous or upset?
She sure did. Oh, and say, she asked me where the Lowry place was at. That's Ned Lowry, owns a hardware store.
Ned Lowry?
That's right. Him and his wife live down the street, three blocks. Big white house on the corner. Want me to show you?
No, thanks. We'll find it, ma'am.
Doesn't seem to be anybody at home, Jay.
I'm pretty sure there is, Sheriff. I heard someone moving inside.
Hey, you're right, Jay. There is somebody in there. I just saw the window curtains move. Reckon I ought to slip around back.
Hold it.
Yes? Oh, Ranger, what is it?
Afternoon, miss. We begin to think there wasn't anyone at home.
Well, sorry if I kept you. I was taking a nap. I wasn't sure if I heard someone at the door or not.
We're looking for a girl named Arlene Rankin.
Arlene Rankin? Well, there's no one here by that name.
Is that so?
This is a Lowry resident.
We know that, miss.
Well, there are only three of us living here, my sister, her husband, and myself.
You don't know Arlene Rankin?
No. Should I?
Here's her picture, miss. Ever see her before?
See. No. No, I never saw her before.
Your sister and her husband at home?
No, I'm alone.
Mind if we come in?
Well, no, but...
We just want to look around.
Sounds like it's in this room, Jase.
There's no one in there. It's just...
We'll have a look anyway, miss.
Huh. Window shutter, Jase. Wind's banging it against the house.
It's broken. Kept me awake half the night. Look, if you tell me what this is all about...
That suitcase over there on the chair, miss. Who does it belong to?
Well, that's mine.
Yours, eh?
Baggage tag here says Continental Trailways, Jase.
That's how I got here, by bus.
What's that, miss?
I arrived last night, just here visiting my sister.
What time did your bus get in last night?
Oh, just around midnight.
You talked to anyone at the depot?
No, I don't think I did.
Are you sure?
Oh, wait, I did ask the woman at the lunch counter how to get here.
I see.
That lady back at the lunch counter sure has an imagination, Jase.
Tell me, miss, did any other girl get off the bus when you did last night?
No other girl.
You positive?
Yes, I think so.
What do you make of that, Jase?
Take a look at this photograph again, miss. You recall seeing this girl among the passengers? Well?
No, I don't remember seeing her. Of course, the bus was crowded and I really didn't pay much attention to the others on board.
I see.
Look, would you mind telling me what this is all about?
No cause for you to worry, miss. Sorry we bothered you. Come on, Sheriff. There was no reason to doubt the word of the girl at the Lowry house. Arlene Rankin hadn't gotten off the bus at Covington the night before. The sheriff and I drove back to his office in Newby, and we had another talk with Lenny Hayes.
But it's the truth, I tell you. Arlene did call me.
She's not in Covington, Lenny. We're pretty sure of that.
Well, maybe she went on.
Don't see how she could have done that. All roads been blocked.
You've been lying, haven't you, Lenny?
No, no.
You could have made up that story about the phone call from Covington just to throw us off the trail.
No, I didn't. You gotta believe me.
We're willing to lay out you never received a phone call, Lenny. That Arlene wasn't even on that bus last night.
She must have been.
I'll get it, Jason.
Sheriff's office. Yep, just a minute. Company B in Dallas calling you, Jason.
Thanks, Sheriff. Hello. Yeah?
You know, Lenny, you can save us a lot of trouble.
What's that?
What do you mean?
Stop trying to cover up for Arlene.
I'm
not.
You're trying to protect her by sending us on a wild goose chase.
That's not true.
Now, listen, Lenny, there's no sense
Hold
in
it,
you...
Hold it, Sheriff. It's like maybe we owe Lenny here an apology.
Oh?
That bus we figured Arlene wasn't on was being vacuumed in Dallas this afternoon, and a purse was found behind one of the seat cushions.
A purse? What about it?
Belonged to Arlene Rankin. Finding Arlene Rankin's purse on that bus indicated we'd been wrong about Lenny Hayes. Yet the girl we'd talked to in Covington had been positive that Arlene hadn't gotten off the bus there the night before. I put in a call to the Continental Trailways Company and found out that the driver of the bus was due back in Newby in an hour. We were waiting at the bus station when he came in.
Nope, I don't think I can help you, Ranger.
You know what the Rankin girl looks like?
Yeah, saw a picture of her in the Dallas paper this afternoon.
And you don't remember seeing her get off the bus anywhere along the line?
Nope.
Do you remember seeing her get on the bus here in Newby?
Look, I picked up quite a load here last night. A lot of high school kids, Ranger. Maybe this Rankin gal was one of them. Maybe she wasn't. Didn't pay much attention. I just wanted to get rolling.
In a hurry, were you?
I was running behind schedule. See, ordinarily there's a 5-minute wait here. One cup of coffee. Well, I had two.
Oh?
Basketball game, the high school gym went overtime, and, well, I didn't want to shove off. I knew most of the kids were counting on getting the bus.
Wait a minute. You were late taking off?
Well, sure. Almost 10 minutes.
What time did you arrive at Covington?
Well, with all those stops along the way, I lost another 5 minutes. Didn't pull into Covington till 12:15.
12:15?
Yeah.
Jeez. Yeah, Sheriff, yeah. All right, driver, thanks.
Sure enough. Sorry I wasn't much help, Ranger. See you, Sheriff.
Yeah. Kind of interesting, isn't it, Jace? If the bus didn't get to Covington until 12:15, how could Arlene have called Lenny from the bus depot there a few minutes before 12?
Doesn't seem to add up, does it, Sheriff?
Of course, Lenny might have got the time mixed up.
I don't think so. He seemed pretty sure of it, your call.
Yeah, that's right. He must have lied.
We'll know about that for sure once we talk to the telephone company over at Covington. Back at the sheriff's office, I called the Covington phone company and asked them to check a call from the Covington bus station to Lenny's number in Newby. There was no record of any such call. The sheriff sent one of his deputies out to bring Lenny in, and we waited.
Well, and it's just like we figured, Jace. The girl wasn't on the bus at all. Only how do you account for the purse? It was found on the bus.
A plan, Sheriff. Lenny could have slipped aboard the bus last night, put it in there while the driver was in the cafe having coffee.
Yeah. Yeah, he could have done that.
Be mighty careless of a girl to forget her purse when she's trying to make a getaway, don't you think? A little too careless.
I won't say that thought hasn't crossed my mind, Jace.
And you know, Sheriff, something else bothers me. It seems like Lenny went to an awful lot of trouble trying to cover up for the girl.
Well, any kid who's as crazy about a girl as he is about
Arlene... I know, but if he was really trying to shield her, he'd have done a lot better by keeping his mouth shut. He's been real cooperative. He's been working at it a little too hard.
What are you driving at, Jason?
Just a hunch, Sheriff. But if I can force Lenny into making a move, it might be in the wrong direction for him, but in the right direction for us.
Yeah, hold it, Jason.
Hello?
Well, come on in, Lenny. Thanks, Charlie.
Any news of Arlene?
Not a sign of her yet.
Well, Dallas is a pretty big place.
The fact that her purse was found on the bus in Dallas doesn't necessarily mean she's there. She could have gotten off the bus anywhere along the line.
Yeah, I guess so.
Lenny, about this phone call you said you got.
Still don't believe me, huh?
Maybe you were mistaken. Maybe Arlene just told you she was calling from Covington.
No, I heard the operator. She said it was Covington.
I see. Well, we'll check with the phone company anyway just to make sure.
Check with the phone company? But Arlene called me from a pay phone. How can you check?
Well, it doesn't make any difference. The phone company keeps a record of all long-distance calls. Didn't you know that?
No, I didn't.
Well, anyway, that isn't why I asked you to drop in, Lenny. We think you can help us.
Mm-hmm. So what?
We'd like you to talk to some of Arlene's friends. Maybe you can find out more than we have.
Me?
Yeah, you want to help us, don't you? You'd be helping Arlene.
Well, sure I want
to
help.
Well, then get to her friends. Tell them if they know something, they better talk up. They can get in a lot of trouble by withholding information.
Yeah, I guess they can.
Okay, that's all, Lenny. Let us know if you hear anything.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll let you know, Ranger.
The sheriff and I waited a few moments after Lenny had left the office, and then we eased out into the street. We saw him get into his car halfway down the block and take off. In the darkness, we watched the taillight disappear toward the edge of town. We followed him.
What's he up to, Jace?
I don't know.
That's the second time he's driven around the cemetery. Arlene wouldn't be hiding in there, would she?
Look, turning onto the other highway now, heading south.
Good. Maybe we can get a little closer, Jace. Lots more traffic on that road.
He's speeding up.
Suits me fine. At least we'll get to wherever we're going that much sooner.
A quarter of an hour later, Lenny Hayes turned off the main highway into a narrow dirt road. I switched off my headlights and followed. We spent another 15 minutes trailing him as he cruised up and down the back roads like he was searching for something. Then we wound up on the highway once more. When we reached the outskirts of Newby, he turned again, drove right into the cemetery, and stopped.
Any sign of him, Jace?
There's his car parked up ahead. Easy, easy now. Better stay here in the shadows. He might spot us in this moonlight.
I'd sure like to know what the Samuel that kid's up to.
Hold it.
Yeah.
There he is.
Where, Jace?
Over there, near the fence.
What's he doing?
He's digging.
Say, wait a minute. Look at the flowers over there, Jace, pushed over to one side. That's Harry Sutton's grave. What's he doing digging around there?
Freshly turned ground, Sheriff. If he's trying to hide something, he can do it quickly. Let's move up a little closer.
Yeah.
Here, this way around the hedge.
Yeah.
We'll move up behind his car. Stay down, Sheriff.
What's he doing?
Stop digging. He's coming this way, to the car.
Now what?
Just open the trunk compartment.
Let me take a look. Yeah. Now he's pulling something out of the trunk. It looks like...
Even at this distance, there's no mistaking what he's dragging out of there.
A body.
I guess we can get him now, Sheriff.
All right, Lenny. Stop where you are. Don't move.
Huh? He's making a break for it, Jace.
Let's go.
This way, Jace. He's heading around back of the chapel.
Hold it, Sheriff.
Where the blazes did he go?
I don't know. Listen. Listen, do you hear anything?
Nope. Hey, wait a minute. I thought I saw something move over there behind that tombstone. Let's take a look.
Wait. We'll circle around that way. If he is there, let's see if we can maneuver him in position so he'll make a break for his car. I'll be waiting for him.
All right. Careful, though. He may have a gun.
All right.
There he goes, Chase!
Hold it, Lenny.
Let go!
Let go! Simmer down now, boy. This is as far as you go.
Let go of me!
I said simmer down.
Okay, Ranger.
Hey, you all right, Jace?
Yeah. Come on, let's go around back of the car and have a look at that body.
Well, it's Arlene Rankin, all right, Jace.
How about it, Lenny? You feel like talking?
Sure. Why not? Arlene... She was just playing me for a sucker. She was really crazy about Fenton all the time, just using me to make him jealous.
When'd you find that out?
Last night when I sneaked over to the Purvis place. I saw them together. I went out of my head, I guess.
So you went inside, got the gun, and shot Fenton?
Well, I didn't mean to do it. I just wanted to scare him. I didn't mean to.
I suppose you didn't mean to kill Arlene either.
No, but I had to. I had to kill her to keep her from talking.
You had the body in the trunk compartment here all this time?
Yeah. I waited too long last night trying to make up my mind what to do with it. Sheriff's men were all over the place looking for her.
You thought you'd get away with making it look like Arlene had killed Fenton and run off.
Huh? I almost did get away with it.
Yeah, almost. The penitentiary's full of people who almost got away with it, too. Come on, let's go.
Jace?
For the brutal murders of Dave Fenton and Arlene Rankin, Lenny Hayes was sentenced to Huntsville Penitentiary for the rest of his life.
And now, here again is the star of our show, Joel McRae.
One day last year, we received a card from a little girl who wanted to be a Texas Ranger. She said she didn't have a horse, but she did have a mule and could ride. We learned last week that this same little girl was stricken with a serious illness and has been in bed all summer. When she heard our first show a few weeks ago, she asked her father to help her write a poem and send it to us. We'd like to read it. R is for Ranger, stalwart and strong. A for his aim that never goes wrong. N for his nerve, calm, steady, and sharp. G for his gun, never misses the mark. E is for effort, endurance in fight. And R for respect for the things that are right. Fanalu, that's a fine poem, and it's deeply appreciated. Honey, you're going to get well, because in spirit, you're a Texas Ranger.
Next week, Joel McRae in another authentic reenactment of a case from the files of the Texas Rangers.
Tales of the Texas Rangers, on Tuned to Yesterday from the 21st of October, 1951 on NBC. Bringing to a close this hour of Westerns on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's past. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Levonier. Thanks for tuning in.